Hey guys, Jacob Wynn here. Welcome to the Wide World of Punting, episode 6, where I talk about everything and anything in the world of punting. Got a big show tonight. Look, the Wide World Bet of the Week got up again on the weekend. I'll talk quickly about that. Got Tristan, the director from Top Sport, back for another edition of Behind Bookie Lines. I'm going to talk to him about betting on teams that are really popular in the public. And the effect of patriotism, for example, Aussies that are always betting on the Australian national team in any sport, or that just always want to bet on Australians in individual events, and how that affects the market. Then I've got a topic on trolling, the sad reality that comes along with sharing tips publicly. You might have seen my post in the group this week. Special cameo from Saul. Better Call Saul is going to jump in with a Champions League tip for tomorrow morning and his best EPL tip for the weekend. And then I'm going to wrap the show with this week's Wide World Bet of the Week, which I'll tell you now will be on Friday night's T20 Cricket International between Australia and India. So the Wide World Bet of the Week, it's a bit of a gimmick, if you like. It's something I came up with when I wanted to do this summer series. Let's take this opportunity to dive a bit in deeper on topics, to get guests, to make the show a bit more entertaining, try to at least and make it a bit more variety. I thought, look, at the end of the day, you guys are tuning in, you're still going to want a tip. And we want to try and look at, you know, various events, big, you know, events in the world of sport and racing throughout the summer. And I don't pretend to be an expert in everything. I definitely don't want to be. That's why I like to bring guests on to help, us gain more knowledge on different things. But I'm a true sports fan and I love to watch things and I love to have a bet on something to make it more exciting. And that might actually help me learn more about that sport. And what I wanted to demonstrate with the Wide World Bet of the Week is that we can use our punting theories to help us find profitable plays on sports that we're not experts in. So if you go back to episode 1, I looked at what's the big event on the world. That was easy. The US election. So I said to Alexi, right, you're on the Bet of the Week this week. Find a good bet, if you can, on the US election, where he mixed up Democrats and Republicans. So the odds that he said was never available. So that was a wash. I said, Alexi, redeem yourself. Week 2, he did. He went UFC, gave a winner over $3 odds. Week 3, the obvious event was the Masters. I went into the weeds. I got a $4 top 10 finish by an American Webb Simpson. Did finish top 10, but he was tied in 10th. So we got a partial win on that one. Week 4, it was a bit harder to find anything good, but I went with the Wallabies, -4.5 against Argentina in rugby. That lost. That's so far the only loss of the series. I think I redeemed myself last week when I went back to rugby. As my dad always said, look for your money where you lost it. And I lost it against Argentina. Went against Argentina again last week with the Wide World Bet of the Week. New Zealand to win both halves by 7 or more. It was, I believe, 10-0 at halftime. Final score 38-0 to the All Blacks. So we got $3.50 winner, and I talked to Tristan about that next, actually. Mate, just been talking about the Wide World Bet of the Week, which got up pretty comfortably on the weekend. So I'm just checking, are you still all good? You're still happy to be on the show?
Yeah, it was a good tip. It was never really in any doubt, was it? So no, we're definitely, we know how bookmaking works. You have winning weeks, you have losing weeks. So well done to yourself for picking it out, and well done for the punters who jumped on. There was plenty of activity with it. So we're definitely in this for the long haul. We're proud to be part of the group, and we take a loss every now and again, so be it.
And it was good odds, and I'm, you know, I really appreciate that you let everyone who's following you to get on and $100 limit. Do you have any idea off the top of your head, like how many people jumped on it, or how much money was actually placed in total on that All Blacks winning both halves by 7 or more?
Yeah, we had about 20,000 worth of bets. So as you can imagine, with the maximum being 100, and not everyone obviously put the full stake on, but there's quite a significant number there. So it ended up costing us around about that 40K mark. So you know, the punters were too good. It added to an ordinary result on the night, because the All Blacks were quite well backed in the match betting as well. So
is it the case with the big name teams that you've always got more money on that side?
Yeah, I suppose it's a yes and no question, because like we probably feel we've got the sharpest punters that bet with us out of probably any bookie in Australia. So where maybe, you know, some of your other bookmakers, they may have teams where they lay all the time, or, you know, they might be that public-based sort of team. We probably don't have that as much, and we probably base our mindset on just trying to get that line to where we feel there's that 50-50 value. But I think the market may have opened it. Might have been 17.5 at the start of the week, and it jumped out to 19.5. So in that game in particular, it was very heavily weighted towards New Zealand. It's not always the case, you know, like you generally find a lot of punters will throw New Zealand, using them for an example, into their multis. But but the line is generally one where you tend to find people like sort of opposing New Zealand on occasions, particularly when Australia's playing them. You know, with the Aussies getting those big lines, particularly at home, you do tend to find it. But yeah, it's a tricky one to answer because, as I said, we're probably in a different spot to a lot of your other bookmakers, where the pros are the ones sort of dictating where the line moves at our end, and we get a lot of that sharp money and significantly sharp money, where I would probably say that the number of bets are maybe flowing in the direction you say, but the large level of turnover is purely based on what their ratings spit the numbers out at.
And that makes sense to me. And to add on to what you're saying, it's like your typical punter thinks, oh, the All Blacks, oh, yeah, they'll definitely win. They'll win easy and they're going to play the minus. Really, they're not going to care what the number is. They're going to think they're going to win. But what you're talking about is if you've got more sharp players or pro players, well, there is a point where that line gets so high that they think it represents value on Argentina and they're going to bet it back. So you can't make that line, you know, way too high to increase your chance of beating the general punter because the sharps are going to bet the other side. And the point on multis as well, the All Blacks got the chocolates for us all on the weekend. But as you say, I reckon everyone throws the All Blacks head-to-head in their multi, you know, $1.10, they might have been $1.20, you know, in Australia against the Wallabies. And it's like that safe leg boosts up the odds of a multi. But they played six times, 3 wins, 2 losses and a draw. So, you know, that's where the bookies win if people have thrown New Zealand in as a, you know, a safe leg and then they lose like a game to Argentina. But I wanted to talk to you as well about patriotism in betting. So you mentioned like when New Zealand plays Australia, some people just like to bet on their own country because that's the team they want to cheer for. So do you find that you get extra money coming in just because it is Australia you've got in the market?
Yeah, you do occasionally. And again, it probably goes back to that what we just spoke about, where you probably your number of bets, where you'd take more bets on Australia compared to the overall turnover. Again, our pros shape our market, so it's a similar sort of response. The big ones, though, where it maybe is a little bit different is when you've got those unique sports. Like the one that stands out in my mind was when Australia made the World Cup many, many years ago in the soccer, where we'd been trying as a country to get in there for so long. And I sort of think I'm a person that I can sort of think logically and not be sort of parochial. But even in that instance where, you know, I'd been waiting so long for the Socceroos to make the World Cup, we were trying to protect Australia. Punters were trying to get on Australia because it was one of those things where I think everyone just wanted to support them.
You've actually brought up an unpleasant memory for me. 2006, I don't even know if I was 18, but I was around 18, and Australia made the World Cup. And the first game was against Japan. And even back then, I had a sharp sense to me. And I am a big football fan, but I said, nah, you got to bet Japan here. Everyone's betting Australia. Japan's probably the better football team, and they're probably the value. So I bet on Japan. Then I watched it. Of course, I'm happy. Australia scores, you know, I think 3 goals late and gets a famous victory. And I robbed myself of that enjoyment. But, you know, that's what you're talking about. People backed their country. And Australia did well in that World Cup. So sometimes people bet with their heart, it still works out. But in the long run, I guess the reason I want to ask you the question is where do punters get value? And I was wondering if people might actually be more profitable betting against their country. And it kind of sounds like that is often true because you're saying it's often the sharps that go against, you know, the public side. And that's where people probably should understand if the number of bets on a side, like if the weight of number of tickets is on a side, that's probably more public. That's more general people getting on. But if a weight of money is on the other side, that's probably got some information and intelligence behind it.
Oh, for sure. And that's where when we spoke last week, and obviously as a running top sport, I want as many people to bet with us as possible. But as we pointed out at the outset, I think for people in your group that are wanting to be successful punters and wanting to become better punters, you need to have avenues to be able to wager with a number of different different entities. And I think that speaks to it perfectly where, as I sort of pointed out, our odds may not necessarily be inflated about Argentina or a team opposing, you know, a public side. But if you can see in those instances, like a good example will be in the Test cricket when Australia play India, you might see that the tab's very heavily weighted Australia's way, and then there might be value about India at some of these other places. So I think there's really good opportunities there for punters if they're shrewd enough to be able to, you know, assess where the market's sitting. You know, the wagering space has turned pretty global. There's some really big players out there from all around the world. Betfair's obviously very key. So there's great opportunities for a punter to be able to sort of locate those bits of value in those instances and just try to understand, okay, well, this might be a game where there is some parochial sort of sense I'd probably suggest it's going to head more towards the TAB or these sort of places, or if someone's doing a big advertising campaign trying to be parochial, then yeah, there's some good opportunities there. And it's just trying to be, like in any instance, trying to be smart enough to know how to take advantage of that. Probably the one key thing that I think is a little bit different from our point of view is when you got a someone at a big price, you know, when the Aussie Open rolls around and someone like Nick Kyrgios gets on a bit of a roll in the lead up tournaments, that's when, you know, at 50 to 1, at 60 to 1, it can get painful for us because, you know, people will back him because they haven't got a, that's when those small size bets add up. If you get 100 people on him having their $10, $20, $30 at 50 to 1, then that's where it's a lot different to having their 100 bucks or 50 bucks on them at the $1.90 line. So in those events, like the golf's another key one. So when Jason Day was going very well in the major there, I can't remember which one it was, might have been the British Open. That was a really bad result for us when he was leading, sort of coming into day two, when a lot of the public money got on him and was cheering him home. And I'm a big Australian golf fan, so that was sort of a hard watch from our end where we were trying to pull his tail. But there's different elements to it, and it's a very interesting question you raise, and I'm sure a lot of people have different opinions on it, but that's sort of my view on it, that there's massive opportunities there if you just know how to take advantage of it and just really assess the market in those sort of instances.
And it makes sense because vast majority of us, we want to punt to have fun and you want to cheer for the team that you want to win, but it is dangerous. I do warn people, don't bet on the result that you want to happen. You should be betting on the result that you think, you know, represents the value. And I really appreciate, I think you've given us great kind of insight into the mechanics there of pricing and how public teams and how patriotism does play a part in the odds. So, okay, guys, I thought I would devote a little segment to the show tonight on trolling because it is kind of topical. If you might have seen, I did put a big post up about it that we're going to really clamp down and not be as tolerant of trolling in the Tripod Punters Tips Forum, which is our Facebook group, as well as in the Tripod app. And these are free groups, free apps. But when I do say free, a lot of people have actually jumped to, you know, to my defense or to the pod's defense with recent results and say, hey, you know, why are you bagging free tips? And, you know, there's no reason to ever go at someone who's giving you tips for free. I am very defensive and I defend everything we do because I believe in what we do so strongly and I know all the work that goes into it. But I never want to hide behind the fact that the content is free and that means it's lower quality. I want you guys to hold me to the standard of any paid service or any professional. You know, I haven't really heard about any professionals out there that could boast kind of record that we've been able to provide for you guys over six seasons, tipping NRL, tipping NFL. So it's not really about being free. It's just about the fact that I'm doing my best and I can't do better than that. And just before I talk about trolling, I suppose I want to talk a little bit about dealing with losses, because sometimes I think people that troll may be struggling with how to deal with losing and punting. And I've said 1,000 times, you know, winning 60% against the spread is an extremely high standard and you really cannot get better than that, and you've got to be happy with those kind of results. But that means you're still going to lose 40% of the time, and it's not as simple as every 5 tips I give out I'm going to win 3. You know, there's going to be runs where earlier in the season we were above 70%, and there's going to be other runs where you're going to be down around 30 or 40%. It is going to be variable. That's why it's punting, and that's why it's exciting at times. But personally, I don't know if you guys will be surprised by this, but I've actually always struggled with dealing with the losses. I think, ironically, while Alex isn't here anymore, I think he used to deal with just getting over when we lose a bet and kind of move on a bit more, whereas I would just keep thinking, like, why did we get that game wrong? Or, man, we had that game right, but if one thing happened differently, you know, it would have won, and no one understands that, and people are bagging us, and actually we were dead right in the game. And I'll, you know, on a Friday night, if we haven't won money on the footy games, I go to bed and I don't sleep well because, you know, I'm overthinking the bad results. But the crazy part is, if I go to bed and we've had a great night on the tips, I don't feel like I sleep any better. I just feel like I expect to do well, and when I don't, I'm disappointed. And so, you know, that's just not sustainable for health with sleeping or mental health if you're going to feel down every 4 out of 10 tips. Because that's a fantastic tipping record, and yet you're still going to be struggling. And, you know, guys, we've all got families and stuff, and it's obviously completely unfair on your family if you're going to be in a bad mood 40% of the time because a tipping result didn't go your way. So you've got to always kind of remember that you're doing it because you enjoy it, or you want to add enjoyment to something you already love, which is watching sport. But I think it's psychologically proven that the losses hurt more than you enjoy the wins. So even if you win more than you lose, it still is, you know, a mental challenge, but you've just got to always try and keep it in perspective that, look, you put in the work, you're confident, you make the bet, you live with the result, and you got to move on. And in saying moving on, I need to do a better job kind of moving on from some of the negative comments, because I find a lot of you guys write awesome, you know, really appreciative, supportive comments. And I say thank you, and I do appreciate every single time. But I move on with my day quite quickly after someone says something nice. But if someone's, you know, having a go at me or at the pod, I find I'm like still thinking about it for hours, and I'm going back and forth with them. And, you know, the same game multis or any of our NFL multis, I went into that in depth on the NFL pod. Just looking back at the first 11 weeks of the season, how have our NFL multis gone? Kind of squash some of the myths that our tips haven't gone well this year, but also talking about where we have had a bad run in a row, where we haven't lost. Is there something wrong fundamentally with the legs we're picking? And me trying to explain, for example, why we take halftime, full-time in same-game multis. But look, the fact is, although the trolls are kind of a very minor percentage, it's something that everyone deals with, I think, when you're putting out content online. And we've said from now on, look, we've tried to be respectful, we've tried to discuss with them, but I think there's a couple different types of trolls out there. There's the guys who stumble across the tripod and across the content, the podcasts and the tips, and they're immediately skeptical and they're thinking that's, you know, that's way too good to be true. That record, you know, doesn't sound right. This seems dodgy to me. And they think to themselves, I'm going to follow this for a week or two. And if they're, you know, any selection of their tips aren't easily making money, then I'm calling these guys out. And to that, I just say, like, you know, it's very fair to be skeptical. You should be of anyone you find that's got a record anything near like what ours is. But just keep an eye for a bit longer. Sit back and see, you know, the content we're putting out. See the reasoning behind the tips and, you know, whether we're getting you good odds and get good lines. And then you can decide a bit later if you really think it's worth attacking or if it's just something that's not for you. Or maybe if you give us a bit longer, you'll find actually that we can help with your punting and we can give you, you know, extra angles and extra information to think about. And then the other category of trolls is really a handful of guys that we know most of the names, and they've kind of been around for many years, and they've witnessed some of the greatest runs of tipping that you'll ever see. They've witnessed multiple great seasons of tipping NRL, of tipping NFL, and they're not interested in that at all, and I never see those guys say thank you or say well done. But they're kind of sitting back and they're waiting for that moment where there is a downswing. And there's going to be weeks out of 52 weeks a year, if you're sharing tips, there's going to be five or six easily, like really bad weeks. And they just seem to love to wait for that moment where they can come and sink the boot in. And I don't really have a solution for those guys because I don't think they really want to be reasoned with. And I don't think it's even about the results because, as I said, they're witnessing the great results, but they're ignoring that. But they're just waiting for when it doesn't go down. Maybe they get a kick out of it. But I need to kind of not waste my time going back and forth with people that, for whatever reason, I don't know, they're tied to paid services, they personally kind of have something against me or against the pod, I don't know, but it's much more important that I'm focusing my energy on doing my very best for all the people that do tune in every week and do support positively. I chatted to Justin Horro, The Scope, and I asked him, how do footy players feel about guys who've never played the game before criticizing them? And Justin said that, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but as long as they're fair. And I think what has got me going recently is I feel like a lot of the criticism was really unfair. It's like you're having to go at one specific type of multis when overall the multis are up over 60 units. And I'm thinking, geez, I'd kill for a season of, you know, over plus 60 units on multis on any sport. But if there was a week where we went 6-1 on the best bets, but the one loss was in a couple of the multis and sunk the multis, it'd be, oh, multis lost again. And then like on Monday, for example, we went 3-4 on the best bets. But the four best bets that lost, all those teams actually won the game but didn't cover the line. And the multi I gave out at 8-1 got up. So of course all the comments was ignoring that multi, but all about, oh, a losing day on best bets, another losing day on best bets, even though the previous 2 weeks we had a winning record on best bets. So I thought that was unfair because they're kind of trying to drive a narrative that the tips are doing way worse than they really are. And the other part that's really unfair is all the comments coming after the game. And the classic one is like, oh, I knew this was a terrible bet, or, you know, this team was never going to win. And it always makes me think, well, congratulations if you knew that, because hopefully you had a massive bet against the other side, if you know, if that's what you thought. Again, that's my fault for wasting too much time on this stuff, but I want to shout out all the awesome people that are out there. You're the ones who I put the work in for, and I really appreciate everyone who tunes in every week. I owe it to you to make your time worth it. Okay, so next I've got a special treat for you guys. I looked at what the big events are on the world, and the UEFA Champions League is the pinnacle of basically club football in the world. We had games this morning, we've got some more tomorrow morning, and then the EPL is well underway. And my background is, of all sports, I've played soccer more than any. Played soccer for nearly 20 years. I went to Brazil for the 2014 World Cup. I love the sport. I've never had success betting on it, and I don't enjoy watching it as much as, you know, some other football codes. So I'm not going to add any expertise in on football, but I'm bringing in Saul. Now, a little backstory of Saul. This guy absolutely blew up in the Tripod group in 2017. I still remember it just came out of nowhere. He's giving out football tips. I think usually his tips were playing goal totals over, occasionally maybe picking teams to win. And, you know, I think he started like a 17-3 run in the group and definitely got a lot of people's attention. I was looking at him a bit closer, and he went for like 100 tips, gone like 70-30. Now, not $1.90, but in the $1.60 range. And without question, that's profitable punting if you can win 70% at $1.60s. So that was a legitimate run as far as I was concerned, but he was a polarizing character. Now, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but he was quite snappy with the way that he dealt with some people, blocked a lot of people that questioned him in the group, like didn't necessarily make friends with everybody. And when he did have a bad run, speaking about trolling before, man, they came out with their sharp knives for him. And he hasn't continued tipping in the group as regularly, but there still are others in the group that swear by his tips and say that, look, they don't really care what people say about him. As far as they're concerned, they won money off him. So he's a polarizing fellow for sure. But my point that to bring him on the show is not because I really need a tip for the Champions League tomorrow or for the Premier League, but you guys can, you know, hear what he has to say. But I really want to bring people in who you guys know about from the group over the years who have an area of expertise that's outside my own. And what I really want to listen to is their approach, because everyone has different ways of approaching their handicap. So have a listen to Saul, even if you don't bet football. It's just about 3 minutes, his favorite pick for tomorrow, favorite pick for Saturday, and why he likes it.
Two picks that Winnie wants me to explain out for you. So the first game is in the Champions League for tomorrow. I've got United and PSG, both teams to score on over 2.5. They've got a price at $1.83 on Bet365. A couple of the things that I like to look at are goals scored average for the last five and goals conceded for the last five. Also, another thing to think about is who they've played in the last couple games. So, for example, United's last five, our goal scored average is 2.4. So we score an average of 2.4 goals per game. And we concede an average of 1. That is including our game against Southampton, Istanbul, Everton, and again Istanbul. The good thing is with that is obviously the attack of PSG with Neymar, Mbappe, Icardi is a lot stronger than the teams that we've versed. You look at the flip side, there's also the PSG goal scored average, which is 1.8 for the last five games. And they've also conceded an average of 1. But that's against Bordeaux, Monaco, and Leipzig. Obviously, United's attack is obviously much better than that. You've got the final factor as well of PSG fighting to stay in the top two of the table for the Champions League in our group. Obviously, they need at least a point here to try and make sure that they get through. United are also looking for at least a point to secure advancing. I can see probably an early PSG goal within the first 20 or so minutes. United will hit back, and then we just need that third to get us the over. And then for my next pick, I'm going to be playing the North London Derby in the Premier League on the weekend, which is Tottenham versus Arsenal. I'm going to be taking Tottenham to win at $1.90 on 365. If you have a look at the same kind of stats, you've got Spurs, their last five goals scored average is 2. Their goals conceded in the last five average is 0.2. You look at the flip side, Arsenal average have scored 1.6 goals per game, and they've also conceded an average of 1. Obviously, with Tottenham's scored average, it is a little bit inflated because they've played weaker teams like Ludogorets, West Brom, and again Ludogorets. However, Arsenal's defense for me is probably not much better than those couple teams besides Ludogorets. If you look on the flip side as well, you've got Arsenal, who just lost 2-1 to Wolves on the weekend. I watched the game. It wasn't a great performance. They were really lackluster. They had no motivation. Obviously, coming into the North London derby, there is going to be extra motivation to win. However, I just can't see the quality of Arsenal overtaking Tottenham. The good thing is with this one is I do also feel that Tottenham at the moment are a little bit overpriced at $1.90. So yeah, that's it for the two picks for today. I hope you guys enjoy. Let's get the dubs.
Wide World Bet of the Week time, and as I discussed with Tristan, that often you can find value when you bet against your country, because the typical bloke on the street wants to have a bet on his own team, the team that he wants to win. We might sometimes find a bit more value going the other way, and that's what I'm going to simply do for one of the big sporting events that's on this week, which is the T20 cricket on Friday night. Now, this is a funny one because I'm recording this on Wednesday afternoon. As you watch this, Australia and India are literally playing in a one-dayer. So my tip for Friday night is independent of how this goes. This is the third and final one-dayer tonight. Australia won game one and game two. So whether India gets a consolation win today or whether Australia clean sweeps, to me, it doesn't change the probability too much of who's going to win on Friday. But I am going to just say, let's go with India. Now, my first thing is 2020. I've watched plenty of it. I really do enjoy getting into the Big Bash, and we're going to have an expert for Big Bash to preview next week. And one thing is, it's always pretty 50-50. I mean, it doesn't even matter which team necessarily is a lot stronger, because one or two players can completely change an innings, whether with bat or with ball. And obviously, two sides that both have quality players in Australia and India, you know that it's likely to be, you know, could go either way. Now, the current odds has India as a slight outsider for this one, as you'd expect, Australia beating them in the limited overs leading up to this and playing at home. But I'll take India in this one, give them a chance to start the 2020 series on a positive note after losing the one-day series. And look, just getting a little over $2, that's not the style of the Wide World Bet of the Week for this week. Top Sport's not just simply going to give you a market that, with great odds that you can just lay on Betfair. We're going to get a bit creative here. So what I like to do, which is something I've had a lot of success with over the years, is what I call laying points with an underdog. So usually the underdog in a 50-50 handicap is getting a plus a handicap start. It's the favorite that's the minus. But what I like to do is, if I think that an underdog can win, I will look at alternate lines and actually lay points with that underdog and get an even magnified price above the head-to-head price. Now in cricket, we don't have points, we have runs, but it's a little bit more complicated because your margin of victory depends whether you bat first or second. So what's a new initiative that some bookies are now offering is a run/wicket line. And that's what I'm going to take here. So it's an alternate run/wicket line. It's India to win, and they need to have at least 3 wickets in hand if they're chasing, or if they're setting the total, they need to win by 7 runs or more. And we're getting a nice big juicy $3.50 on this, which I definitely think is value. I make India, based on the marketplace, no real knowledge of cricket, no specialty knowledge, make them about a 45% chance to win this game. And I think laying that runs and wicket line decreases our odds of winning by about 10%, but we're still at least a 1-in-3 shot, and you're getting $3.50. And that's what it's about. It's actually not about me trying to give you a pick that I'm sure will win, because that wouldn't be, it's very rare you're going to get something you're sure is going to win over $2 odds. But I'm giving you a value price. That's my Wide World Bet of the Week for this week. That'll do it. Thanks for watching again this week, guys, or listening. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe, leave a comment, let me know how the show was. Same, likewise on Facebook, you can let me know how it went, or use the React button if you enjoy the show each week. And if you follow on Spotify or iTunes or any other podcast player, you can subscribe to the Tripod feed so you never miss a pod either. I'll be back on Saturday with week 13 NFL picks. And this pod, The Wide World of Punting, episode 7, will be back in a week from now. And I definitely have got a Big Bash preview, plus some guests and other great content. So look forward to seeing you again soon. Cheers.